This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, it's a Saturday edition of Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown, Grace Remington in with me today. If you came to see Mike Somich, do not worry. He will be with us a little bit later. Let you know what he thinks about all of the horse races going on today. We will, of course, talk hockey. We will talk basketball. We will talk UFC. We will talk everything going on out there in the sports world. Grace, listen, if you are into all kinds of sports, today's your day.
I know. I mean, it's starting to feel really muggy, like the dog days of summer, but then you go and look at the sports calendar, and no matter what type of fan you are of any sport, whether you're casual or intense, I mean, there is something going on for you this weekend. So we are blessed as sports fans.
Yeah, definitely. It's the interesting time of year where whenever we get these big events that come up that aren't really events that are really washing through the mainstream, so like now everyone becomes a College World Series expert, like, mm-hmm. you know, for the next 2 weeks, and everyone's putting out their College World Series picks. I'm like, you didn't watch a damn game the entire season. Yep. And here you are like trying to tell everybody how to bet the College World Series. I'm like, get out of here with this nonsense. Like, what are you doing? Everyone likes to play pretend. Like whenever the big things roll around, it's like, nah, man, leave it to the experts. Leave it to the people that actually do this on a day-to-day basis.
No, I agree with you. But hey, thank you to those experts, because I'm one of those people who did not watch a lot of College Baseball World.
No, it's hard to find. Let's just be honest.
It is. Yeah. It is. And the lines are wild. But we luckily do have some really great college baseball handicappers at VSiN. Mm. So I've been kind of mooching off of their picks. Kind of a shocking tournament so far. You would have expected the SEC to dominate with all the teams they got into it. That's how I would have bet it. Yeah. I mean, naturally, I've moved all over the Southeast, so I kind of have turned into an SEC apologist. Sorry, not sorry. But, yeah, kind of shocking results there. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing that I did not end up betting the tournament.
Yes, my LSU Tigers will play here in about an hour. We'll see how that all goes down. Of course, last night, if you were watching in the NHL, whether you are a hockey fan or not, hockeyed last night yet again. It was absolutely amazing. 5-4 winners were the Panthers in double overtime. They even the series at 1-1. Of course, we even get to overtime, Grace, because a goal was scored with 17 seconds left in regulation. The first two games of the Stanley Cup Finals have been bangers. And like I said, whether you are a mm-hmm. hockey fan or not, whether you watched the NHL throughout the course of the season or not, you have to really, really applaud what you've seen through these first two games.
Yeah, it's been really exciting. I foolishly turned the game off early last night because I thought the Panthers had it in the bag. Of course, they ended up winning anyways, but missed all that excitement in the final seconds and woke up this morning and was like, oh, well, that's interesting. But yeah, really fun, especially when it's a rematch, you know, back-to-back years of the same two teams. Teams that know each other really well, they have some familiarity at this point. You know, I feel like in any other sport, teams that have that familiarity, maybe it would be a little tighter, low scoring, but that has not been the case at all, obviously, with these two firepowers of offenses. Yeah. So it's been really exciting, and honestly, I just hope the series goes along.
Yeah, I mean, if you start to understand why the series was lined as closely as it was. You see both of the games go to overtime. You see how this all has played out. So you do understand. Now, that said, they head back to Florida for game number 3, where the line has actually drifted out to past minus 140, 142, 143, 145 at some spots out there in favor of the home Panthers. So we're not as closely lined here in game 3 as we did in game number 1 and 2. We're still sitting at that 6.5 on the total standpoint. So a lot of hockey left to play. As you mentioned, VSiN.com for all of the hockey analysis over there. Tons and tons of handicappers and everybody breaking this down. We woke up and there was sports already going on over there at Roland Garros, Grace, and we see Coco Gauff take it down and win the championship over on the women's side of things. She drops the first set to Sabalenka 7-6 in a tiebreak, but comes back and wins 6-2, 6-4, and gets it done in 3 sets. So Coco is your champion.
That was an awesome watch. There were momentum swings at the end. At one point in that final set, it looked like Coco had a chance to go up 4-1, but Sabalenka fought back, made it a little bit closer. I always feel bad for the loser of those tiebreak sets, so that 7-6 first set, because you put so much energy, so much thought into it, and at the end of it, you know, when it comes down to a tiebreak, it's like, well, it really could have gone either way, but you just played for an entire hour, and what? Now you got nothing. So congrats to Coco for the comeback. First American to win it in a decade, the 7th American woman to win it overall. It's hard to remember. She's only 21. I just feel like we've seen her for so many years now. I just thought she would have been older at this point just because she's everywhere, but she's 21. She's just getting started. So it's super cool that we have an American superstar to root for like her.
Yeah, it's cool. And like you said, you just forget because these tennis players turn pro at such a young age that you turn around and you're like, oh, they've been around forever. What do you mean they're 23 years old? That's impossible. Like, you know, like, it's impossible for them to only be 23. Coco, lots of good years, hopefully, with as long as she can stay healthy in front of her. Jannik Sinner beat Novak Djokovic in straight sets. He will play Carlos Alcaraz in the men's final. If you look over there at that one, this is Sinner minus 115 and Alcaraz minus 110 over at DraftKings. So a true coin flip over on the clay be happening, well, for me, early. For you, still early, but, you know, it's 6 a.m. for me over here tomorrow. Jannik Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz. I can't wait to watch. I don't think I'm going to have a play. I think the line is, I think it is a coin flip. And so when it is a coin flip, I don't think there's an edge for me. But, you know, somebody will have some plays over there on VSiN.com for sure.
Yeah, I'm peeping the article just posted by Zach Cohen right now. He's all over Sinner. Even though Alcaraz has won their last two matchups, his play is Sinner on the money line plus 107. He's putting down two units.
Look at
on
that.
This one. So our buddy Zach, pretty confident in this one.
Look at this. Okay, well, there we go. See, that's what you get whenever you tune in to Ready, Set, Bet. We'll let you behind the paywall for a second. See that? You get a free pick there. He's going to be on the Sinner side of things. Of course, we talked about Samich. He'll join us a little bit later to talk the Belmont. We're not going to be going for a triple crown gray, so that's a little bit of a bummer. I know whenever horse racing does have that heading into the third and final race of the triple crown, it does make it feel much, much, much bigger. That said, it did get an 8-horse field. It did get some of the really big name horses and all of that. So it's not a complete dud here that we didn't even have an opportunity to try to get someone home.
Yeah, I guess it's a little bit of a bummer when you don't have the Triple Crown threat. But, I mean, still really exciting here. We know a little bit about journalism and sovereignty at this point, so I'm excited to see them run again. I know there were some changes to the pairings of horse and rider, so I'm curious to get Mike Somich's thoughts on that, just to see how, I don't, maybe it's a big deal, maybe it's not. I don't know. That's why we're going to ask him. But either, I just think these races are so fun. So I'm excited for another one.
Yeah, and I'm looking out behind us as I was walking into the studio. We'll see what the weather has an effect on everything as well. Looks like this track a bit muddy. Maybe some mud out there. We'll see if anybody runs better in the mud. You know what they do? They go and they look at their mom and dad, and then they look at their grandfather and grandmother and see if they ran good in the mud, because apparently in horse racing, if your grandfather ran good in the mud, then maybe you also can run good in the mud. I didn't know that was... Yeah, it doesn't work in humans. I don't know if my grandfather ran well in the mud. And maybe I'm a mud racer. I have no idea, but it works in horses anyway.
Run outside. Go test it out after the show.
Yeah, in the desert. Yeah, I'll go run in the mud in the desert. We do have a first pitch that is coming up here momentarily, and that is the Cubs on the road at the Tigers. Jameson Taillon and Tyler Holton. But of note, Tyler Holton is just the opener here for this one. He opened for them back on May the 13th and went about an inning and two thirds there. So you're probably going to get somewhere in that range. They pulled him when he gave up a run there, Gray. So I don't know. Maybe their goal is to get two innings out of him. But he's just an opener. If you're wondering why you haven't heard of Tyler Holton, it's because he's a reliever.
Yeah. So I had capped this, expecting Keiter Montero to get the start. I mean, I was on the Cubs side regardless, and honestly, the line has not changed that much. Mm-hmm. I kind of saw this as a coin flip game. I would have played the Cubs at minus 103, but out to minus 120, I just don't really feel passionately about it. Jameson Taillon is the better starter here. Not that much better, but he is. And the Cubs' bullpen is better. Their offense is top three against righties. So I think the Cubs just have the edge in every aspect here. If you want to bet them on the money line, sure, but it's just not – just think it's priced where it should be. There's not really an edge.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jameson Taillon, for what it's worth, is – I know he came in to the majors 8 years ago with all this hype and whatever, but to be fair – he just kind of is what he is. He's like a high threes, low fours ERA guy. He's going to be right around 20% K rate. He doesn't walk a ton of people, so he didn't put himself in a ton of trouble with all that. He just kind of is what he is. He's not spectacular, but certainly no, he's not a bum either.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it looks like he's due a little bit of negative regression. He has a 3.76 ERA, an expected at four, a 5.11 FIP. So... but like you said, he is what he is. I guess like you can give him props though for that low walk rate. It's under 5%, which is among the top pitchers in the MLB. He has a high barrel rate but lower hard hit rate. I don't know. It's just I guess we know what he is more than Tyler Holton. So that's kind of why I would go with the Cubs here.
Yeah, absolutely. I just like dudes that don't put people on for free. That is always a big bonus for
there
me with starting pitching. Of course, we will talk UFC 316 a little bit later. I've got a couple of thoughts. We'll have Reed Kuhn on to get his thoughts as well with all of that. But when we come back, going to take a look at the RBC Canadian Open, in which you will be playing a weekend that does not have Rory McIlroy after he shot really, really poorly. And we'll see if that has anything to do with maybe how we bet the U.S. Open, which is coming up in a week. Matt and Grace here on Ready, Set, Bet.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Thank you for joining us here on a Saturday, channel 158 over on SiriusXM, our very own VSiN Watch app, YouTube TV, and terrestrial stations across this great country of ours. Matt Brown and Grace Remington in here today, and got first pitch going over there in Detroit, so that game is rocking and rolling. We do have some college regionals that are super regionals that are actually in play right now. Miami and Louisville are already in the bottom of the sixth inning. That's 5-4 in favor of Miami there in that one. We're in the top of the fourth, North Carolina and Arizona. That's tied at 2. And then we just got going Murray State and Duke. And so first pitch just getting going right there. In about 45 minutes, we have West Virginia and LSU that will have first pitch. And then an hour after that, Auburn and Coastal Carolina. Did not take very long. Look at you, Grace. There goes Suzuki. Leaves the yard for the Cubs. So 1-0 lead early there for the Chicago Cubs.
Ooh.
There you go. Look at Seiya Suzuki just getting it going right there out of the gate. Oh, this Holton guy has a nice little faux mullet thing going on, this Holton guy.
Oh,
if I'd have known that, I'm glad I didn't see him beforehand. I might have bet him.
Switch.
I might have bet him. Like, I would have been like, look at this little faux mullet thing he's got going on. I'd been like, all right, this guy's confident.
The fashion choices persuade your wallet.
I mean, listen, this guy's confident. See, here's the deal. You walk in with a faux mullet like that, and like, you're like, man, this guy's confident. You know, he must pitch extremely well with that confidence.
Did you ever rock the faux hawk back in your days?
So it's funny that you have to bring that up, but I've experimented with several different I never grew long hair, right? So I never had long hair, but I did try various different things with shorter hair. And obviously one of the ones that you can do with shorter hair is kind of do the little, you know, faux hawk thing. And so, listen, it was a great guess on your part. And the answer is yes. I did in fact try that for a while until it was like, you know, I don't think that's me. I'm boring haircut guy.
Corey needs to do some digging.
I'm just boring haircut guy. This is me.
I bet there's some more photos out there. The old LSU headshots.
What you're going to find.
It's got to live on the internet somewhere.
So you live in the South still. I have the swoop.
Yep.
Like, so, and they still rock the swoop.
Oh, like Justin Bieber hair, kind of.
They still rock the swoop in the South. It doesn't matter. Like, this is, you know, 15 years later, this doesn't matter.
It's
they still
a little,
rock.
You know, it's a little more refined now. I don't think we can call it a swoop anymore. But like Riley Green, do you know that country singer?
Yeah.
I just saw him live the other, like, it goes back somehow, but there's still some lettuce flowing out. I think that's the key baseball look. You have to have some lettuce sticking out of the helmet.
I had the swoop. Yeah, I had the swoop, and that was honestly probably my hairdo for the vast majority of college. I look back on those pictures, and they were not great. RBC Canadian, which is very interesting that we go into that one at Rory McIlroy, is a plus 450 favorite. Did not get my money, did not get Wes Reynolds' money. Kelly Bidlin decided to go ahead and take the plunge, thinking that Rory might be able to go out here and dominate this field. And instead, we see one of the worst rounds from Rory McIlroy we have seen in quite some time. And if you go in, you will see not only is he not playing the weekend because he got cut, you have to scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll way down to find Rory McIlroy, because he is way down at 9 over par for the tournament. 1, 2, 3, 4. Only 4 golfers in the entire field shot worse than Rory McIlroy did this week. I'll tell you who shot better than him, Grace. Cougar Collins. Cougar Collins shot better than Rory McIlroy.
Is that a real name?
Yeah, oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Cougar Collins shot better
no way.
Than Rory McIlroy this week.
That sounds like
your
like
new favorite golfer.
Key and Peele skit.
Yeah, your new favorite golfer is Cougar Collins right there. Who is winning, though, is Cameron Champ. He is 12 under. He's yet to tee off. That'll happen in about a half an hour. Alex Smalley is had himself a day. He goes 65 in round one. Then shoots a 2 over 72 in round two, followed by a 7 under 63 today to shoot him all the way up into T2. Now, that being said, Sam Burns is at the same score, and he's only through one hole. So there are certainly guys that are going to catch Alex Smalley as the day progresses. Sam Burns eagles hole number one, so he's 2 under through one, always good. Kevin Roy, 6 under through 14. He sits at 10 under. Whole slew of people at 9 under. So, Grace, you kind of look at this tournament, and this is still anybody's tournament for sure.
Yeah, I think so. Looking at Alex Smalley, leading the field in strokes gained approach today, which going into it, we knew that would be a really important category for the winner of this tournament. I ended up live betting. What did I do? I have a ticket on Nick Taylor to win.
Okay.
And I have Taylor Pendrith top five. Basically, I liked Taylor Pendrith going into this one, actually. We just don't have a lot of data on this golf course, so I kind of wanted to play it live instead. But he's coming in here in good recent form. He finished 5th at the PGA Championship, 12th at the Memorial, ranks highly in all the skill sets important to this course, 13th on tour and approach, top 10 in proximity from certain buckets, like 175 to 200 yards, top 10 off the tee. He finished runner-up on this course in 2019, so he does have some good course history here. And then Nick Taylor, I was listening. I should have written down the stat, but I heard something that basically if he is pacing for a top 10 finish, he'll win outright like 20% of the time. So it's a matter of like him getting there. Once he's there, he closes. So that's why I bet on him live. Of course, coming into this, he finished 4th at the Memorial. Missed the cut at PGA. That wasn't good, but top 20 at the Truist. So yeah, I mean, those are the two guys I'm kind of rooting for at this point. I don't think they've teed off yet, but did want to go back to Rory for a second, because that round yesterday was the second worst of his life, which is insane. And I think the only round that was worst was at the, what was then called the Northwestern Mutual, which is not a big deal. Like, I won't put it on the Phoenix Open, but you know, so this is essentially like the worst round of his career. And it just makes me think like this, he talked about the motivation lacking right after the Masters. And I wasn't really surprised to be, I wasn't.
Oh, me neither. I stayed far away from Rory in this tournament. I actually said, because the deal between Rory and Scotty is the fact that Scotty can win with his B-plus game. Rory cannot. Rory's B-plus game it's not this bad. Obviously, he's not getting, like, cut and shooting eight over and all that. But, like, Rory's B-plus game's not good enough. You know, Scotty's B-plus game is still good enough to win. And so at these really short odds at plus 450, I don't care that there wasn't a whole bunch of star power in this tournament. It was just way, way, way too short for me for something that I kind of felt like you were talking about. I just don't know what Rory's game's going to look like for the rest of the year now that he's gotten the monkey off his back, you know?
Yeah, and I do wonder, yeah, I mean, what is it going to look like? Because if he were any other golfer who had completed the career Grand Slam, and this is very hypothetical, I would have just said, hey, retire. Like, yeah, that's it.
I know.
You did it. What else is there to do? But he's 36, and athletically, he's still in great shape, you know? So why – you don't want to hang it up, but, like, mentally, he turns into a basket case.
Yeah. I need this weather to go. I just need, like, conditions to get horrible because I actually have a ticket on Alex Smalley pre-tournament. So,
nice.
So I need the weather to turn horrible. I need everyone to start playing terribly because he's in the clubhouse already. So let's have everybody else suffer. Come on. Let's get winds. Let's get rain. I don't care. Just do whatever it is up there in Canada and let's make this round really tough. Guys, if you're not already a VSiN Pro subscriber, no time like the present to head on over there, VSiN.com/subscribe. You get a full year for just $199. And with that, you are also going to get the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. It's a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting action, and making smarter NFL bets. And of course, all of the other stuff that you get with being a VSiN Pro subscriber. You get the daily emails recapping all the bets from the hosts and the guests throughout the course of the days. We get splits from Circa. We get splits from DraftKings. We get the video access for your watch app and on the web. And then, of course, you get the betting guides that we put out, which might actually be the best thing that we do here at the network, getting you ready for all of the tentpole events, all of the seasons, all of the everything. People go in a detailed breakdown of what you are about to bet. And so those betting guides come along with this VSiN Pro subscription. So go in, use promo code BOOK, B-O-O-K, when you do that, VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, we are watching baseball. We're seeing what's going on here. We'll have some more first pitches to talk about as well. Lots of college baseball, lots of Major League Baseball. And, of course, we are going to talk some UFC a little bit later. I have thoughts. Reed Kuhn has thoughts. Everybody has thoughts on all this. But when we come back, we're going to talk with Kevin Rogers and see what he thinks about Stanley Cup Final Game Number 3. Walk us through what we've seen in the first two games as well. Grace, lots more to come here on the program. So much betting action here today. I have three different baseball bets that are still to come, fellas. That's why you want to hang around. You can put these in your account. You can tell us. Matt and Grace coming back here. Ready, set, bet.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Grace Remington in. Coco Gauff is your French Open champion on the women's side, outlasting Sabalenka over there in three sets. News coming through that the Phillies have put Bryce Harper on the IL with wrist inflammation. So he missed a couple of games there, Grace. They thought that he would be okay, put him back in there, and I guess just not quite good enough and might as well go ahead and free up a roster spot. So IL for Bryce Harper.
Yeah, probably a smart thing to do, especially at this point in the season. Plenty of time to recover and make a playoff run here. But the Phillies still hitting well without him, so I wouldn't be too worried in the short term.
Yeah, I like the Phillies. I like the Phillies for sure. But they're old. This is the problem. I said going in the season, yeah. I'm like, but they're old. And so as they can run on the right side of variance from an injury standpoint, I think they can be right there. They've already had to put several different dudes on the IL. So we shall see. Now joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, we've got Kevin Rogers, sports betting analyst at ProLine TV, at Rogers Picks over on the Twitter machine. Kevin, how you doing, man?
Good to be here. Got a little bit of sleep after last night's double overtime game, but looking forward to a few days off before we get back Monday. But a very exciting series, to say the least.
Yeah, it's the West Coast, Best Coast thing for me, I say, when viewing sports. Like, I mean, West Coast, Best Coast, game gets done, I still got time to do whatever I wanted. The world is still my oyster whenever it gets done out here on the West Coast with those late games over on the East Coast. But let's do a quick recap before we look forward to game number three. Is there anything you saw in either one of these teams through the first two games that changed your opinion on how this series might go, or anything that you saw that definitely solidified your opinion on how it might go?
I thought, Matt, that the Panthers should have won game one and the Oilers probably should have won game two with the way things went, at least early on. And then it flipped around where the Oilers came back and won game one and the Panthers came back and won game two. And obviously it felt like even last night it was almost a disaster when Corey Perry scored in the final 20 seconds and you thought, oh, here we go. Now the Oilers are going to win this one in one of the overtimes and go up 2-0 and the Panthers will be in a bit of trouble. But Brad Marchand saved them again. He saved them in game three against Toronto in the second round with an overtime winner. They would have been down 3-0 in that series and they would have been down 2-0 if they would have lost last night. But still, I think the takeaways, though, if you slow down Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, I'm not breaking any news here, then you have a very good chance of winning. And the Panthers, unfortunately, haven't done a great job of slowing down McDavid. They did so last year for a few games in the Stanley Cup Final, but McDavid's played well. Draisaitl didn't have a goal last year in the Stanley Cup Final. He already has three in this series. But on the Panthers' side, though, we know how well Sam Bennett has played, already 13 goals in the postseason, 12 on the road. But no points last night for Matthew Tkachuk, Alexander Barkov, or Sam Reinhart. Reinhart had that breakaway in overtime, and he shot it wide. So you get those guys to step up. The Panthers should be in pretty good shape. But also, I think Sergei Bobrovsky and Stuart Skinner, we could eliminate them from the Conn Smythe conversation with all the goals they've given up so far.
Heading into this series, it wasn't too surprising to see the totals set so high, but both games have gone over it. We have seen now the price getting a little bit juicier in game three, but two teams that know each other really well at this point, do you expect the scoring to drop off at all? Are we going to still see these higher scoring affairs?
I think, Grace, that it will drop down to South Florida, and I have a good stat for you that in the nine games these teams have played in the Stanley Cup Final dating back to last year, the Panthers are 5-4. But here's the number, though, that Edmonton is 1-5 when they score four goals or less. So Edmonton needs to score a ton of goals to win. And the only win came in game one, the 4-3 win against the Panthers in overtime. Because last year, the three wins Edmonton had, they scored 5, 5, and 8. That if they cannot win a low-scoring game, if the Panthers can just control Edmonton's offense somewhat, they should be able to take care of business here. And the Oilers on the road, they played better since obviously losing those first two games to LA in the first round. But I just think that to beat the Panthers, it seems like they need to have these shootouts. And I think now going away from Edmonton, the long trip, I mean, both teams making a long trip, but the long trip down to South Florida, they haven't traveled this far in the playoffs. The furthest they went was Dallas. The other two series were in LA and Vegas, so they weren't going terribly far. I think that it does slow down a bit. And I think we will see a little bit lower scoring, not a 2-1 game, but I think that we'll see maybe 3-2 games or 3-1 games, something a little lower scoring in the next few games.
Pardon me, Kevin Rogers, Proline TV over at Rogers Picks on the Twitter machine. Kevin, is obviously you always want to play at home, but as you were heading into this series and as we now shift to Florida, did you think there was a distinct home ice advantage towards either one of these teams, or just, you know, typical, you'd rather just play at home?
What's so interesting, Matt, is that the Panthers have just been better on the road in these playoffs under Paul Maurice. They've been fantastic. You saw what they did in the Carolina series, even against Toronto, winning games 5 and 7, and even against Tampa Bay, and going back through the years. But what's interesting, too, is those are against the Eastern Conference teams. When they play the Western Conference, obviously in the Stanley Cup Final, they lost 3 times to Vegas 2 years ago. They went 1-2 last year in Edmonton and then 1-1 this year. So at least coming back home for the Stanley Cup Final will be an advantage. And getting that win last night, all you got to do is win 3 home games now. That's it. Not saying you could tank game five, but win game three, win game four. You make the trip to Edmonton. If things go awry, you come back for game 6 at home. Mm-hmm. Just take care of your business at home. We've seen Edmonton struggles on the road in Florida the last year plus playing all these games down here. I just believe now that the Panthers just getting that win, it was humongous, because now you don't have to worry about winning in Edmonton anymore. Take care of your home business, and you should be the Stanley Cup champion again.
Let's get into your official plays for Game 3 now. You have a first period play for us. We love a quick hitter like that, so what's the move?
Well, last night, Grace, I was a little off. I took the under in the first period. That one didn't work out too well, but I'm going to come back with the under again, and here's why. I have a couple numbers to go over. First off, Edmonton, their first 8 road playoff games, they scored a total of 3 goals. Now, against Dallas, in their clincher, they scored 3 goals early on. So I think that was more of an aberration, and them struggling on the road is more true. Now, for the Panthers, in their 7 home games in the playoffs, they have scored a total of 4 goals in the first period. And in the last 4 games at Amerant Bank Arena, they have not allowed a goal in the first period. So I believe that it will taper off a little bit now, at least early on. I don't expect it to be a 2-1, 3-2 game, or even 1-1 in the first period. I think we'll see a little lower scoring out of the gate. And I'm going to go with the under, take the plus money on that for the first period on Monday.
Well, Kevin, if that one does go awry, hopefully it's one of these two guys that does the goal scoring for you to make that one go away. You got a couple anytime goal scorer bets for us.
Yes, I do. And 2 guys that have not scored a goal yet in this series. First for the Oilers, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. He had a couple goals on the road in Dallas in the Western Conference Final. And we've seen what Leon Draisaitl could do, what McDavid can do, and how short the numbers are. We get 3-1 on Nugent-Hopkins for an anytime scorer coming up on Monday. Also on the Panthers side, I do like Evan Rodriguez at plus 360 at DraftKings. And even though Rodriguez has just 1 goal so far in this year's playoffs, he had 4 goals against Edmonton last year in the Stanley Cup Final, all at home. He led the team with 7 points in that series. So Rodriguez was the unsung hero last year, almost had a chance at the game-winning goal last night, one puck that went through the crease prior to the Marchand breakaway goal. But I think that Rodriguez, though, plus 360, instead of going for a guy like Sam Bennett. Sam Bennett, one thing on him really quick, that he has 13 goals in the postseason, 12 on the road. So I wouldn't trust him as much to score at home just because he's done most of his damage on the road so far in the postseason. So Bennett, I may stay away from that respect, just because you're not getting much of a payout on him. And also he hasn't really scored at home. So Rodriguez and Nugent-Hopkins, 2 guys to keep an eye on for anytime goal scorers on Monday.
He is Kevin Rogers, sports betting analyst over at ProLine TV, at Rogers Picks over on the Twitter machine. Kevin, I appreciate the time and good luck, man.
Matt and Grace, thank you so much.
Guys, Belmont, as you know, it's here. We're going to be talking about it a ton all day long here. We even have a special show dedicated to nothing but the Belmont. But if you want to bet along with not just me and Grace, but all of our analysts here, you need to do that over at First Bet. You're going to head to firstbet.com. That is 1stbet.com/VSIN. And when you do, sign up. VSIN200 is your bonus code, and you're going to get up to a $200 sign-up bonus when you do that. Now, it's really cool what they do over at First Bet. Not only can you get in there and you can make the bets on not just the tracks here, but worldwide, you can watch a lot of the races right there inside of the app as well. So really, really good stuff at First Bet. 1stbet.com/VSIN to sign up today. The promo code is VSIN200, and you'll get up to $200 in bonus bets when you do that. When we come back here, we got a couple of first pitches to talk about, Grace. We got the Jays and the Twins. We got the Dodgers and the Cardinals. And we'll play a little bit of play it or pass it. Is there any bet out there in the NBA market that we would want to play, or are we just going to be passing on all of these? When we come back here on Ready, Set, Bet.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Matt Brown and Grace Remington will be with you here for the little over 2 hours as we get ready for the Blue Jays and the Twins. First pitch coming in about 25 minutes. Kevin Gausman and Chris Paddock. If you look out there in the market, this is sitting a little bit a little bit shaded on the side of a coin flip towards the Twins. So depending on where you look, you can find everything from kind of like 115 all the way to, it looks like a market high of 118 in favor of the Twins. And Grace, sometimes you just have to come on here and you have to say, you know what, I was wrong. And I will be wrong, and I will wear it, and I will just tell everybody that I was wrong. I talked trash about Chris Paddock, and I've talked trash about Chris Paddock for 3 years. Like, I don't like the dude. I thought that it was ridiculous that he was able to get by with only two pitches as a starting pitcher in today's Major League Baseball. It's going on and on and on, and just talking about how terrible he was going to be. Now, certainly he's a little bit worse than he's pitching to his surface stats of 358 and 113 on the whip, but he's still going to be like a low fours guy, it seems like. And I thought he was just going to be an absolute gas can. So I'll just go ahead and wear it. I'll say that I was wrong on Paddock. And he is a serviceable, like, starting pitcher four, starting pitcher five in Major League Baseball.
I think serviceable is a good way to put it. But hey, even if someone is a replacement level pitcher, like, I wouldn't say you necessarily have to eat your words, because the stats are what they are. I mean, looking at his stuff, it does look like he has two bad starts that kind of skew the metrics here. But, like, he is due for regression. Like, the numbers really don't lie. I would agree with you. You know, it's hard to trust a guy who gets by with two pitches.
Yeah. He throws a fastball and change 75% of the time. You know what I mean? Like, literally. Right. Yeah. I mean, he throws two pitches 75% of the time.
That's not going to work forever. Yeah. Especially when he's not really throwing a heater for that four seamer. But both of those are due negative regression. The expected weighted on base average is higher than the actual. So my play for this game, I would lean the over 8. Mm-hmm. Looks like you can get it at a minus 1. Oh, I'm clicking on the wrong one here. Minus 105, I think. The only thing is the two bullpens since the start of May actually ranked number 1 and number 2. So maybe isolate the starting pitchers here, because I know Kevin Gausman has been great, but he is due some, kind of similar. He throws three pitches, throws that four-seamer 55% of the time, and that's due some negative regression. So I would expect some runs here. If you want to isolate the starting pitches, avoid those bullpens, which have been doing well, you could take the first five over 4.5 at plus 102.
Yeah, I actually like that look, because here's the thing. You'll know right off whether you're getting good Gausman or bad Gausman, and like you'll know whether your bet is alive or dead, because He comes out and Grace, like, he's either like Cy Young Kevin Gausman, or he is like needs to be in double A Kevin Gausman. Like, there's almost like no in between. He either has a fantastic start or looks like complete trash. And so I like just kind of isolating him for sure and seeing if you can't get some runs off of that guy. So I think that is certainly a look there in that game. The other first pitch we have coming is the Dodgers and the Cardinals. This is Yamamoto versus Fetty. Some news coming through the Twitter machine here. On the Dodgers side of things, Tony Gonsolin is heading to the IL. That is, I wish I would have seen, Grace. I like to give credit where credit is due, but it just scrolled through too fast on my Twitter here. But that is the 20th IL placement for the Dodgers so far this season. We talked about heading into the season how deep this team was. Little did we know they were going to need every bit of that depth along the way, but 20 different placements on the IL so far for the Dodgers as Gonsolin goes on the IL for them. I mean, they are really going to test that depth and what they've got in AAA for sure.
Okay, so when we were all joking about, they have two full major league rotations on this roster. I mean, and I said, so I faded their win total. So actually, this is great for me. I faded their win total at the start of the season because the regular season just does not matter. They're here for the World Series. And I thought the only way, like, if we're talking division, because it's such a competitive division, the only way you could actually believe that one of the teams below them wins that division is if they only have three starting pitchers left.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at their roster. I think they only have three starting pitchers left. I didn't think this would actually happen. They're going to have to start doing bullpen games, openers. Really, when we were all joking about this preseason, didn't think we'd actually end up here.
Yeah, and here we are. Yeah, it's it is something like, again, you're right. They're playing for the World Series as it is anyway, so they'll certainly proceed with caution with all these guys and make sure they're ready to go down the stretch. But, you know, I'm not worried about them. I'm not going to say that I'm worried about them, but you can look at the standings and you can see that they're only a game up on the Padres and two games up on the Giants. Mm-hmm. And now the Diamondbacks got some horrible news. Corbin Burns going to be out for the season for them. They find themselves six games back and maybe too far without Burns being in there. But you got a Padres team that's feisty. You got a Giants team that's certainly playing pretty good as well. It was a foregone conclusion. We were all just like, okay, it's Dodgers division, move on. Who's finishing second, essentially? I don't know, man. The Padres might could slip in. If this injury stuff continues to haunt this Dodgers team, it is not out of the realm of possibility that the Padres or Giants could win that division.
I wish we could play, like, maybe a first half. Oh, you know what? Hey, look, the Padres are still plus 750. I thought we were going to be late, but.
That's a good price. Yeah. On like we said, on a Dodgers team that is going to have to go and start doing some stuff they didn't want to have to do this year. You know, like they didn't want – and I know everyone's going to point and say like, oh, well, Shohei's coming back. Yeah, I mean, Shohei's coming back, but they're not going to let Shohei throw more than three and four innings at a time to start out. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, Grace, if Shohei in the first five or six starts doesn't go more than 50 or 60 pitches because he's so incredibly valuable as a hitter. You can't have him get hurt and then miss time – leading off for your team. You know what I mean? Like it's like, yes, you love to have him as a pitcher, but he is much more valuable as a hitter to them right now.
No, I agree with you. I wish there was some type of market like first half division winner. Does that exist?
I know that would be
or
so
like
fantastic.
Month of July, you know?
I know we got to find, I'll spend like the next couple of breaks, like looking alternate ways
Let's
that we maybe
that.
Can attack the Dodgers in the short term because, yeah, I'm with you. I think that's a very interesting way to look at everything. I'm looking at the lineups to make sure that everybody is in there today for these teams and just to make sure that we're not, like, you know, have some outliers in there. But it looks like we're getting the usual cast of characters. Shohei, Betts, Freeman, Smith, Muncy, Paez, yeah, Newt Barwin, Donovan, Contreras, Burleson, Herrera. So everybody's in there. I think at this price, it's not going to be a play for me, Grace. It's as high as minus 196 at FanDuel. You can find as high as plus 160. Is that flat? Yeah. You can find a 164 at FanDuel, actually, on the St. Louis mm-hmm. side of things. I could only play dog. It'd be dog or pass for me in this, but I think I'll be going with the pass version here.
You know, I actually played the over in this last night when you could get it at plus 105. It looks like it's minus 105 now.
Yeah.
But I've been talking about this for a few weeks. Yoshi Yamamoto, for as good as he's been, is set for some negative regression. The expected metrics are much higher than the actual. And you can see he's gotten lucky because he has an 80% strand rate. We are starting to see him come back down to earth at this point. His start last week against the Yankees, he only went 3 2/3 innings, allowed 4 earned runs on 7 hits with 3 walks and only 2 strikeouts. And he's a high strikeout guy, so only 2 is kind of significant there. So I think the start before that Yankees start, I think was the first time all season he had given up more than 2 runs. So these last 2, we're starting to see that regression show, so I'm still kind of leaning on more of that. Eric Fetty on the other side has a 5.24 expected ERA, a 4.90 expected FIP, high barrel rate, high hard hit rate. So fading both of these pitchers here, the Dodgers offense is what it is. St. Louis has fallen off, so if you don't trust St. Louis, you could just take the Dodgers side, I think, and go their first 5 team total over 2.5 at minus 105. But I bet the full game over 8.5 here. That 9th run is a key number in baseball totals. So I'm going there.
NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup are here. As you know, ProfitX offering the best odds all playoff long. It's available in 40 plus states and it is a peer-to-peer sports exchange. So you're betting against people like me and Grace and not the sports books out there. So you can even request your own odds if you want to over at ProfitX. Download ProfitX today. Use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, and you can earn up to 200 in profit cash over your first month. So go in, ProfitX, download it. Use that promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, and when you do, ProfitX will give you up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. When we come back, I promise you, we will get to play it or pass it. We'll talk about some of these markets available over there in the NBA, rehash what's going on out there in the sports world. We are already done with Holton. We're on to Montero now. So Holton only lasts an inning and a third there for the Tigers, and Montero has taken over. We'll check on that PGA scoreboard as well. Trade, set, bet here on VSiN.